Amen. Praise the Lord. Can I get a little bit more volume there, brothers? Thank you. All right, if we can turn in our Bibles to the book of John, chapter 14. And Brother Ken was going to finish that series this month, but he had to go out of town for somebody passed away in his family. So we'll keep him in prayer, if you would. And John chapter 14, verse 12. Amen. The scripture reads, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." Amen. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Please be seated. Amen. Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. Amen. I'm glad everybody is wide awake and full of energy. And we're excited when we come to the house of the Lord, are we not? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So this morning, I felt in my heart to bring a subject, end-time anointing, end-time anointing. So we're all familiar with this scripture, John chapter 14, verse 12, because we are to fulfill that scripture. Amen? Praise the Lord. So there are several scriptures that are have been written over time, and God has anointed that particular scripture for that hour, and it's become manifested. So, for instance, there was a prophecy that Abraham gave, that God gave to Abraham about how the Israelites would be in Egypt for 400 years, and then they would be released in a mighty hand. Are we all together on that one? And so there are different scriptures in the Bible that are written there, but they're in seed form, but then at a certain point they become manifested because of the anointing that's placed on that word for that hour. So we don't know always when that word will come into manifestation or become a reality until the anointing comes at that time. So do we understand? So like, for instance, even let's talk about our day. So we know that Malachi 4, 5, and 6 were to become anointed in the time that Brother Branham was here on this earth, right? And Revelations 10, 7, the same. And so nobody up to that point had seen those scriptures, how they were going to be fulfilled. But when the prophet actually came on this earth and he became manifested in flesh, even when he was manifested in flesh, he didn't realize he was the fulfillment of that prophecy. And so as he lived his life, then God gave him more and more revelation until finally he realized that he was that messenger. He was to take that position. And so God wants each of his children to realize who they are. Amen. So through time, we've had different ones that have come through the ages. And remember Joseph, when he was going through all those different situations, God was leading him by the hand through all of that. But at a particular time at the end, he realized what the purpose of his life was for. He had the prophecy before that that says that these things are going to happen. He had those dreams and different things. But when he fully came into his position, then God revealed it to him what his position was and how he was to save life and to save a posterity for the Israelites. Are we all together on that one? And so if God is the same throughout the scriptures, then God is going to be the same in this hour. So now when we look and you see that some people, they think that Brother Branham was just a good man, or they think that he was even a prophet, but they don't realize the full position that he took there. And so we have to be able to see clearly what his position was, and then we can begin to see what our position is. Because you can't receive the message that he gave unless you realize what his position is. If you think he's just a good prophet, then that's all you'll receive from him. So you'll receive some revelation, some truth, but you won't actually step into the full revelation of who you are. And so we know that in the message, Christ, the mystery of God, revealed that Brother Branham said that the bride has to recognize and know her position, then the rapture will go. And so remember him being that position. So if you're not part of the bride, if you're not part of the reception for that revelation, then that won't mean anything to you. But to the bride, she's holding on to every word that is being given. And so Brother Branham realized what his position was, and I believe, and When you look in the seven seals, even up to the time that the first seal, second seal, third seal was revealed, he did not really totally realize it until the very end. Now, when we look and we see that, remember, he was caught up in a constellation of angels, right? And then he saw, and then he said, there was one that was meant more to me than in all the other ones. And so when he says, when he saw that person, he said something to the effect that he said, this one meant more to me. And he made a grave statement about it because I believe that he realized that that theophany was him. And so then it all clicked to him. And then when the seals were fully open and now he could be providing the revelation to the bride of Christ because he could stand there. He thought he was kind of Malachi 4. He knew he was a prophet. He knew he filled out some of the scriptures, but now he knew he had that position. And so now when he preaches in, you know, marriage and divorce and different things, you could see that when he preached marriage and divorce, the authority by which he preached. Because if you realize your full position and your authority, then you can speak in that way, right? Because all of us want to be able to, when we meet the devil, we meet the enemy, and we can speak into his face with 100% confidence. Amen. You're a failure. Nothing you say is going to do anything to me. Stand out of my way, right? Or this cancer that's been put on me, it's gone. All of us want to speak that way, right? And so when he realized his position, then he could speak with that authority. And you can see a difference in the messages that he was preaching, amen, right? So that's how he gave that in marriage and divorce. He said that, you know, go and sin no more because he knew he had that position and the grace that was given. And so now when we're looking at that, we're looking at the anointing that we are to receive in this hour. But, you know, each of us, as children of God that are predestinated, that are elect, we have a seed there. Brother Marcel was preaching on that on Wednesday, but there's a seed there that must be anointed. And the woman at the well, she received the light, and when the light struck the seed, then there was an anointing that was released. And then she realized that I am a child of God. And so we are to look in the scriptures and the message of the hour and to be able to see. So we're looking, right? And what does God command us to do through the scriptures? Matthew 24, he says, watch and wait, right? It talks about Matthew 24, and Brother Bram ties it to the seals, and he says, these are tied together. He talks about anointed ones at the end time, right? He says the elect could be deceived if it was possible. And so he talks about all the different things that are happening at the end. But he says one key thing. He says, watch and wait. So those who are watching and waiting, those receive the Messiah, right? So case in point, Simon and Anna, they were looking for the Messiah, and the Messiah was revealed to them before they perished, right? And so they are looking. So the bride is looking and watching and waiting. Now we see the condition of the hour because I want to go through a few scriptures in Nehemiah and Ezra, but before I do that, I want to kind of lay a few things in here because I don't want us to be put to sleep by some of the spirits that are around us right now. So we know that we're in the Laodicean condition. We know that that spirit is trying to get us to relax, is trying to get us to be complacent, is trying to get us to be lazy, okay? And so it happens in the natural, it happens in the spiritual, if you understand. So people are getting lazy in the natural, so they want everything to be push button, very easy. Microwave world, you know, I want to do the least amount of work and get the most out of it, right? And so the same thing is happening in the spiritual realm. People are getting very, very lazy. And so they're getting lazy, they're getting slothful, they're not being diligent into studying the word, studying the message, and praying. And so that is a spirit that we're fighting right now. And so we have to be aware of that. Now, in the message, a blushing prophet is. I want to read a few things here. So he says, "Now we find that Israel was not to mix marriage. Remember, they were to be a separated people, and so the people of the land were to bring in sin if they were to intermarry with them. So he says they were not to mix marriage. Their marriage was to be among one another." Not no Israelite to ever marry a Gentile, but was to keep their bloodstream clean. So looking at the natural, typing the spiritual, right? So we are not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers, right? So a believer is not to marry an unbeliever. Now, during the time of the reign of Ezra, the children of Israel had become backslid. They had went out and got the Moabite women, and they had got the women of the Amorite, the Perizzite, and many of the other nations, and had not only had married them, but was committing fornications among them, uncleanness, and polluting the very bloodstream, which is the life stream. So you see the natural, how they were polluting, and they were... whenever you mix something together and take it out of the pure, then you lose the power of it, right? And so Brother Brand makes a comment about, you know, the horse and the donkey. You mix them together, you get a mule, and it cannot produce life. So you lose the power. And so the same thing in our life, when we allow sin to creep in, we allow worldliness to creep in, then it takes the power of our walk away. And so some of us may say, I can handle that, I can manage that. He says, stay away from it. Stay as far away from sin as you possibly can. Don't say, I can overcome it. It won't bother me and things. You know, different men of God, they that messed around with it and allowed it to stay there, they paid the price for it. But Job was a man that eschewed evil. He stayed away from evil. So if evil was coming one direction, he was walking away in the other direction. And so the same thing as Brother Branham was teaching us as a man, we know that we have the temptation to look at women. And so he said, turn your head completely away. Amen. He said, if you see sin coming, sometimes he would see a woman walking, he would get on the other side of the road. So walk totally away from it. Now, he said, what a picture that is today of our churches, the way that they're falling away from the old-fashioned hewing line that God laid down for the church, the precepts that we were to live by. The church is committing fornication with the world. Now, if the nominal church is doing that, don't think that it's not creeping into the message of the hour, because it is. And I see it. I see it different places. I see it even creeping into our church. Amen. And if you say, no, it's not happening, it is happening. Amen. Just because you don't hear about it, just because you don't see it, it is happening. Amen. And it's attacking the young people. Amen. We'll get to that in a little bit more here. Amen. They're falling away. The church, okay. Now, this had embarrassed the prophet so much, this was Ezra, so much till when he come before God, he blushed in his face. The first one he heard about, and it seemed the moral decay of his people. It hurt him so bad until he sat down and anointed himself, plucked his hair out and his beard out, and was heavy-hearted before the Lord in prayer. Now, I'm getting to something here in a little bit, because the Spirit of God is grieved with this hour that we're in. And so if we're not grieved with the hour and seeing the things that we see, then there's something wrong. Then we need to get closer to God, okay? Because sin, we become complacent. We become dilatory. We become slothful. And so we need to shake ourselves and get to the point where these things bother us, okay? Because we need to be, just like the Israelites, they were uncomfortable where they were in Egypt. And so they cried out and they sighed. And then when they cried and then they sighed, then God began to hear their cry. And then he sent a deliverer, and they had an exodus. And so the same thing in this hour, because of press, the squeeze, the spirits that are around us, they're going to cause us to be uncomfortable. They should make us uncomfortable right now. More and more. So when we look here, it says, it hurt him so bad. Now, he didn't blush for the scarlet streak of the red light district. He didn't blush for the booze drinkers in the hell holes, although as bad as it may be. But he blushed because the sin of the elect among the believers. And so he wasn't looking down at, you know, downtown D.C. at some booze joint or anything like that, or some, you know, adult pornography place or something like that. But he was looking in his own congregation amongst his own people, and he was seeing that. This is not an easy subject to speak on, Brother Branham says. I could think of many things that were easier to speak on. And many of us, it's uncomfortable to speak on these things. Many of us, we want to speak on things that are pleasant and everybody's happy and everybody's joyful. But in order for us to continue on the path that God wants us to, we have to shake ourselves of these things. Amen. And we have to not be blind to them or be complacent and accept these things, because they come onto us very easy. Very slowly, very gradually. If you know the story about a frog, how they kill a frog, they put it in cold water, they put it on the stove, And they turn on the heat very gently, just little by little by little. And then so the frog does not think there's anything wrong. But, you know, pretty soon they get it up to 100 degrees and then 150 degrees. And then it's boiling and the frog is dead. But the frog never felt the significant increase of the heat. And so it just got killed that way. The same thing, sin moves in.
That's right.
So gradually.
That's right.
And so you say, oh, it'll be okay here, a little bit here, there. Allow this, allow that, and then pretty soon you're in a bad situation. And then you're like, God, where? How did I get here? And so we've got to, when we see it coming, when we see, the Canaanites that are in the land, we've got to kill them off. We've got to totally destroy them. We can't just separate them from us. We've got to totally destroy them. This is not an easy subject to speak on. I can think of many things that were easier to speak on. But brother, if somebody don't stand out in this sinful, adulterous day that we live in and call the colors, what's going to happen? Somebody has to speak the thing. Somebody's got to place it before the people. Perhaps Ezra didn't want to do it, but it was in his heart. So God has an anointing he put on Ezra's heart. And so that anointing carried him on and it caused him to do the things that he did, right? And so we don't do things on our own. We don't just stand up and say, I'm going to do this. God gives us an anointing. And so the bride has an anointing in this hour. Remember Brother Branham, when he was on this earth, he had an anointing, right? But that anointing has shifted from Brother Branham and it is now on the bride.
Amen.
And so we have to be able to see clearly and get the revelation of the hour that we're in and
Amen.
Take into our position.
Amen.
Each one of us has a different position that we're to take in this hour and a different responsibility of God, how God is
Amen.
Going to move on our heart.
Amen.
I said, so, and when and when you see a servant of God get so sincere till he's on his face with his hands in the air praying to God and blushing because the iniquity of the people, then you're going to see a revival start.
Amen.
Now, in this age right now, we know that Brother Branham talked about in 1963 that the bride was start, or 1962 that the bride was starting in its infancy. It was beginning to be birthed because remember he must decrease. So the prophet was decreasing and the bride was increasing,
Amen.
Just like in type for John the Baptist and Jesus Christ. If you understand,
Amen.
So now as we're coming up through this, he is we're going to see a revival sweep in the bride. It's not going to be a worldwide revival. But it's going to be within the bride of Christ.
Amen.
And so it's going to be within her heart. It's going to be in individuals.
Amen.
And so as they begin to get that, they begin to shake off these things. Remember, if you look at the scriptures in Matthew 25, remember all of them were asleep. But then there's something that they heard, and they begin to wake up. There was a midnight cry, and then she saw that she had the oil. She had the oil, but she was sleepy, right? And so she had to be woken up. So the bride is reviving. They're waking up.
Amen.
And she's taking that word and she's going to feed on that, right?
Amen.
She may have her ups and downs, but she's got to stay in the word and stay hearing the word so that all these things can be shaken off of her. No. Show me a man. Show me another Calvin, Knox, Finney, Sankey, or any other who feels the burden of the people that'll lay on their face and cry and pray before God. Send us a John Smith of the Baptist Church again who prayed all night for the iniquity of the people until his eyes would be swelled shut the next morning from weeping, till his wife would lead him to the table and feed him his breakfast out of a spoon. Is this challenging to us? It should be challenging to us. If it is challenging to us, then we should say, Lord, I want to be like that.
Amen.
I do.
Amen.
I want God to move so much in me that when I see these things, I would do the same exact thing. There would be such a burden in my heart that I could not stop praying and start thinking about the people here, the people that need to be saved, lost ones, loved ones.
Amen.
He says, "When what we're doing today, we're patting it on the back. We're calling it this and that and a revival when there's no revival to it. That's right. There's a string of emotion called religion. And so we don't want to mix emotion with the word of the hour. There is emotion with the word of the hour, but we don't want to just take emotion that's around religion among the people, but no revival. They had a religious group in that day. They had stirs in that day, but they needed a revival. Why, my dear brother and sister, the morals of this nation has become so low till it would make a dog ashamed. It would make a hound blush if it could do so. The morals of our people, the people even years ago, the things that we have, that the nation has done, the things that the people has done. So, you know the spirit that the devil wants us to think of? Whenever we hear these words, it says that doesn't apply right now. But it does. We have to catch the spirit.
Amen.
Not exactly the artifacts or the physical, but we've got to catch the spirit.
Amen.
Because remember, the spirits never die. People die, things die, and forms change, but the spirit still remains, right? God changes form through the ages. The devil changes form through the ages, but the revelation of it is to recognize a spirit that's moving, right? Now he says, he says this, the people, even years ago, the things that we have, that the nation has done, the things that the people has done, it's all the lack of prayer. The church they used to didn't believe in picture shows. They wouldn't let their children go to picture shows. They would shun picture shows. And today, why they have the picture shows in their own house. Every house has a television. So let's take two things here. He says, lack of prayer. And he says, talking about picture shows. So we're going to break things down a little bit. First of all, you know what drives our heart to have that kind of burden? So Ezra had a burden. He said he saw the sin, and he says, you know, God save this place. You know, and he had such a burden. He was pulling out his hair. He was just so in anguish. And so, but how does that happen? It's God that's moving in him, right? And so it was the love of God. Remember, the love of God is the one that reaches out, and it's not actually us. It is God working through us, right? And so when you say that I care for this person, it's not actually you that it's moving on your heart. It is God that's moving, and you're being used as a vessel. So you're a representative of Jesus Christ. And so don't even think and put yourself in it, because Tim Buck would never think like that. But it was God in Tim Buck that would be able to do that and care for somebody that way. And so you are, when God is moving on your heart, you begin to pray in that manner, and you feel the unction that you are the representative of Jesus Christ. So you are Jesus Christ in flesh praying for that person.
Amen. Amen. Glory.
Lack of prayer. So we know that, you know, how do we get deeper in the love of God, deeper in the Spirit of God? How do we have more of that? We know that it's very simple to read the Word of God and pray, right? And so we know that is the key. The prayer part is the key to the revelation.
Amen.
Because if you remember in the visions that Brother Branham had with the third pull, because the third pull was the opening of the Word.
Amen.
We know that was the seventh seal. We know that was the thunders in there, because if you look at Anointed Ones at the end time, he mentions the third pull being the opening of the seals,
Amen.
The revelation of the Word, the mysteries revealed.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
And so, but he talked about it in the dream or the vision. He said, you must go into that secret place. And so when they went into the secret place, they received deliverance, right? And then we know that in 1956, after he preached those he received the vision, then he preached several messages, and a lot of them were about the inner veil, going behind the veil, going into the Shekinah glory, because that is where we meet God, and that is where we see the opening and the revelation of God. And so when he said in one message, you remember your prayer closet in Matthew. We know that's not an actual closet, but it's your secret place.
Amen.
But he says, when you go into that, then God, remember, you're developing a relationship with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
As you're developing a relationship, then God opens himself to you.
Amen.
You know, you have a relationship with a close loved one, your husband, your wife, your family member, or different things. The closer you are to that person, the more that they open themselves, the more that they reveal themselves
Amen.
To you. If you pray like 1 minute every day, how close are you going to be to God?
Right.
And so remember, Enoch walked with God, and so we must walk in that fashion. We must have that kind of relationship. We must have that kind of prayer life. Now, he says here that the church that used to didn't believe in picture shows. How many believe about the picture shows? Nobody? So we don't believe that picture shows are bad for us? One person back there. Okay. So we know that the Brother Branham talked about that thing because of the influence that would, the negative influence that would come through those things, right? And so remember, the devil moves in very gradual way. And so he made it seem like, oh, this is interesting. This is nice. Let's have a picture show. Let's have, oh, we can even bring it into a TV here or whatever. And we can have nice family time around the TV. And so, you know, as he takes another step, then things get worse and worse and worse. And so if you can look at what they started showing in the picture shows and the television from way back then, it was very nice, it was benign and everything like that. But as we progress in time, then they begin to put a little bit more at a time, more and more evil there, until the world is hooked on this television and this movie thing, right? And so you can see that also he took the theater, and so you had to go out there. So, you know, you could avoid it if you never went out there, you know, in your home. But now he's bringing it from there to a television in your home. And then from there, he's making it easier by cable TV. And then from there, DVDs and different things. And then he eventually puts it so that it's in your hand, right?
Amen.
And so now, we can't avoid it, many of us, because in order to live in this world, we got to be able to communicate and different things. And so now it really takes the Holy Spirit of God for somebody to be able to discern and to be able to avoid that evil. Because remember, there's no flesh, you know, saved unless the work was cut short. So we're talking about the evil time that we're living in right now. And so now he's bringing the picture show into our hands. And so now many are being defiled by that picture show in their hands. And I tell you right now, even the news, it's to a point where it just brings your spirit down. I mean, it used to be okay to read the news, but now you read the news, and then your mind gets taken to another direction. It gets taken off of God, right? And then it takes time for you to get back into the same channel that God. So now it becomes that I can't even look at news that often. I just have to look at the headlines now, because when I start to read the articles, it's just very depressing, very violent, very this, that, whatever it is. It's just disgusting. And so now you see that is taking place. And, you know, the young people, it's the devil is working hard on the young people in this avenue, because it appeals to the young people, because all the kids have phones, right? And so they all do social media and different things. And so, you know, in order for me to be like everybody else, I need a phone. Otherwise, I'm an odd person. And then everybody's going to make fun of me. And it's hard for a little kid like that to deal with that. So you see how the devil tries to keep on pushing lower and lower and lower, right? Used to be older people. Now it's became teenagers. Now it's even, you know, the elementary school kids having these phones, right? And so he keeps on pushing it until everything is just corrupt. And so we have to be able to look at this thing and say, you know what? You know, what does the scripture say? Psalms 101, verse 3, it says, I will set no wicked thing before in mine eyes. Because there are people who say, well, Brother Branham never talked about the cell phone. Brother Branham never talked about this. Well, the scripture says this, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside, shall not cleave to me. So if we're watching violent things, if we're watching things that have sexual content in them, you know, that's contrary to the scripture. And so we've got to purge ourselves from those things. You know, the devil may even try to work it through these things that are called Christian movies. And they go, oh, yeah, you know, we're talking about God, but they slip in little things here and there. And so don't trust that. And he says also in Ephesians 5:16, redeeming the time. And so we, more and more, we have less and less time. So the time that we have, we need to use it wisely. You know, we need to be good stewards of our money, but we need to be good stewards of our time. And so he says that, you know, those things, especially if they're for entertainment, what value is it to your spiritual life? Just in general, does it add anything to you? It may even, it just takes you down a lot of times. And things that are not even negative, maybe they're neutral, but they waste time, right? That you could spend doing good things, like whether it's developing relationships with your family or developing your relationship with God or other brothers and sisters. So now he says this. Let me skip on. I'm already at 10 o'clock. That's the reason people has got diabetes. If one would ever cut himself, it probably would never heal. Why? Because the real red blood cells is eat up. And the whole church has become diabetic. And to every little cut that comes, instead of walking on, you pick at it, can't heal. Selfishness, greed, immorality, everything else that's in the... If we're struggling with these things, it's because we've allowed influences. Whether it's through the phone, movies, or different things like that, some type of influence is continuing to make that bloodstream weak. But if we cut those things off, then the bloodstream can get stronger and stronger and stronger. Now, we're going to get into a scripture here because when you see that the path that we have to take in order for us to follow God's word and for him to bless it and cause revival, we need a total separation. He says here, he says, those habits, men drinking, smoking, telling dirty jokes, women cutting hair, wearing makeup, doing all kinds of things, dressing themselves immorally to face the people. All of us face these things all the time. Our young people, the young people face these all the time. And it's, remember what I said, it's not huge, it's very gradual. Right? So take, for instance, a dirty joke. Somebody says it, right? And then, you know, they try to make it kind of not too dirty, but it's a little bit dirty. And then they, you know, they say it again, and you're kind of sitting around, and then it gets worse and worse. When it starts, we've got to walk away. You know, the drinking thing, you know, people say like, oh, it's okay to drink because, you know, Jesus turned the water into wine, you know, and Timothy could drink a little wine for his stomach. If you look at the whole entire scripture, it doesn't confirm that. You know what I'm saying? And so if you take one part of the scripture, you can do something you want to do when this flesh or this nature, this sinful nature wants to do, but we've got to take the whole scripture. Amen. Wearing makeup. I've seen message believers wearing makeup, young people wearing makeup, different places. When Brother Brand speaks against it, when the scripture speaks against it, but it's creeping into the churches. You know, cutting their hair. Girls saying, oh, it's okay to just, you know, nip a little bit on the ends and things like that. I don't read that in the scripture. I just said, do not cut hair. Right. So if you want to make a lie into a white lie, you know, they're all lies, right? And so if you're disobeying the word of God, you're disobeying the word of God. All those things are because lack of blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all righteousness. Let's see here. It's time for the prophets of God, O brother, for the preachers, if you would say it across the nation, to fall on their face. When I know there's 19 million Baptist churches, 19 million Baptists rather in America, 13 million Methodists, 11 million Lutherans, 10 million Presbyterians. Mercy, think of that. And constantly the ball games, the amusements, and on Wednesday nights and sometimes on Sunday nights, stay home to listen to the television and the radio of old jugs, gags, and jokes they pull from Hollywood. Brothers and sisters, there is a pull to try to get you from coming to church. Whether it's on Wednesday night, because there's a part that says, I'm too tired. You know, I had a rough day. I had a rough week or something like that. It's okay because I'll go on Sunday. Whatever the rationale, it's the devil working on your mind.
Amen.
And so
Amen.
He's going to do everything he can to bring you down.
Amen.
And so, what it, you know, he's going to say the same thing for whether it's, you know, Sunday service, Sunday school, special service, or whatever. He's going to say, you know, you go to Sunday and Wednesday. It's okay you don't go to, you know, that special service or you don't do this or whatever. Remember what Brother Branham says. If you're a believer and God is in your heart, you can't hardly wait till those doors open, right? And so if we don't feel that way, then we've got to let God work more and more in our lives, in our heart, because that is what he is saying. And so we, you know, many times we are short. You know, Gideon was short when the angel of God came to him. He says, thou mighty man of valor. And he was the lowest person. He was the poorest person. And he was in a different condition. He didn't see himself that way. But as he began to be encouraged by the Lord and God began to train him and take him through the steps, then he became what the angel told him in the beginning. And so these things that the message of the hour, the scripture tell us, we may not be there and we go, I guess I'm not it then. If I don't feel that way, that's not it, brothers and sisters. We've got to become that.
Amen.
Because if that's spoken of us, then we become that. If we believe what God said of us and we believe the revelation that he's given to us, we become that.
Amen.
He says this. Television, the radio of old jokes, gags, and jokes they pull from Hollywood. You're so growing on that kind of stuff. When you ought to have your Bible out somewhere, laying out before God on your knees or praying for the sins of the country. I'm going to hit a couple more things. And, I would like for us to go through Ezra and Nehemiah, but maybe that's for a different thing. Maybe God wants us to just go through some of these quotes and then go to that at another time. Desperation for God to move. So you saw the desperation that was in the blushing prophet's heart as he saw things going on. And so many of us, how many of us have felt many times that I just don't feel anything, you know. I just don't feel I don't feel the go juice, you know. I don't feel the energy. I just feel like sleeping. You know, you wake up in the morning and you're like, okay, I'm tired. I want to pray. And I want to read the Bible, but I'm tired and things. And then, you know, maybe I'll, you know, just sleep another 30 minutes or things like that. You know, that sleep thing, it affects all of us. And that's why it's talked about in Proverbs. You know, it talks about slothfulness, talks about the laziness and different things, talks about not getting too much sleep, right? If you look in the scriptures, many men of God, they rose up early, right? And many of us, they say, you know, I'm just not a morning person. But, you know, but God has changed each one of us. God can change that nature.
Amen.
God can change you to a morning person. God can totally change who you are. But you get that. And, you know, my kids, you know, as they're training them, kids are not born with the Holy Ghost. And so, you know, but you want them to know how important it is for prayer.
Amen.
And reading the Bible. And so, you know, we try to get them into that, you know, even though they don't really have a strong desire to do it. Because, you know, I want them to just have that in their training, you know. And I want them to be immersed in it and then, you know, not have a lack of exposure to it. So, you know, they do that. And in the mornings, you know, we have like the hour of prayer and the hour and reading the Bible. But a lot of times it becomes the hour of sleep, right? Because we wake them up and then, you know, it's like, I'm up, Dad, and then I'm going into the living room. And then, you know, I come back 15 minutes later and they're like, shh, you know. So that is something that we fight, right? But we've got to, this is not an easy road. This is a fight. And so I tell you that the more that we take of the land, the stronger that we get. And so if it's difficult now, just keep pressing on, brothers and sisters.
Amen.
And encourage one another.
Amen.
You know, as we're seeing each other as brothers
Amen.
And sisters, how's your walk going, bro? You know, we're all sensitive about that. It's like we don't want to pry in people's life. That's the devil. If we care about each other, we're going to ask these questions. Because we care about their spiritual life. And so the devil's going to say, you know, that's too sensitive. You don't want to put them on the spot. No, brother, I care about you. How's your spiritual life going? You know, I'll be praying for you. And, you know, that little bit of care goes a long way.
Amen.
You know, there's a message I was studying, and, you know, I wanted to talk about it, but I just started studying it. He cares. Do you care?
Amen.
And Jesus, how he cared. And, you know, Brother Bram talks about the different examples of how, you know, different situation. This minister, young minister, went on a honeymoon and then, you know, and married to this wonderful young Christian woman, but the devil did something on that trip and caused him to have a complex or something like that. And then they came back, but the Holy Ghost revealed the problem and he was set free, showing that God cared about that individual situation. God cares about all these different things. And so, you know, God is in the business of letting you know that he cares.
Amen.
And that little bit of care, that little bit of love, he talks about in the message of the hour, that love can heal
Amen.
A problem.
Amen.
You know, he uses a healing gift. He uses sometimes music, but he can use love to heal somebody.
Amen.
So he says in this, in the message Desperations, he says, You know, talking about a man from New Albany, he may be here tonight. He's a friend to my brother Roberson, had a little boy here. I think his wife had cancer once and was healed. And now the little boy has got asthma so bad till he's just in bad shape. Little fella, almost canker throat himself, see? And then he brought the little boy. Yeah, I see his hand up in the back there, was prayed for this morning. So the woman was healed of cancer. Now this person, this young boy, he had this asthma, but he knew that seeing that woman healed of cancer, he could get healed of this asthma problem. And there was desperation, he says. When the wife was about to die with cancer, he knew that God could heal her. And if God could heal the wife, God could heal the boy. And if throws into a state of desperation. So we know that different problems, they throw us into desperation when our kids are in a bad situation or there's an emergency situation. But God wants us to be in desperation because of the hour that we're in right now. We see the times that are happening. Amen. We see that young people are pulling away. We see family members pulling away. We see the sin that's creeping in, and he wants our hearts to get into desperation. Amen. Because he talks about that being a true indicator of the Holy Ghost in our lives is when we're truly seeing that and we're feeling bad about it and we're groaning inside and we're getting desperate and saying, Lord, just do something. How many of you have been into a situation where we say, Lord, just do something? You know, I don't know what to do. And so God wants us to get into that. But you know, many times, like, we want to see something happen, God to move. But when we start to get that heart that we want to see God to move, then we look at the situation, all the obstacles there, and then we realize that we can't do this on our own. And so then the more we pray and say, Lord, I can't do this. Lord, you're going to have to move. Give me the wisdom. Let me you be used. Let others be used. God, move in this way. And that's when God begins to move. Because we're not trying to do it on our own. We're letting him do it. And so that's what happened with the Israelites. They began to sigh and groan because they could not see the end from the beginning. They saw that there was no way out. They began to sigh and they cry. And so God wants us to get into that desperation that we see the hour. Brother Ken was giving an awesome presentation because showing the planets aligning and the time that we're living in right now, you know, when the planets were aligned, you know, was the opening of the seals. And then he talked about how when the planets were aligned, you know, Jesus was born. When the planets were aligned, there was a flood. And then when the planets are going to be aligned again in the future, you know, what's going to take place? The destruction. We see these things. We see the self-driving cars and all these prophecies being filled. It should drive us into desperation. But if you're just slothful, you don't care whether he does or not, well, that's different. You say you do, but it takes desperation to do it. I believe that the reason we don't have desperation is because it's the lack of love, God, the love of God. Remember, love, agapo, is a person. That's who God is. And so we've got to have more of God in us, and then we have desperation. Amen. Let's all stand. Sorry it was more kind of on teaching than preaching, but this is really on the heart. You know, I just mentioned this. If you have time, look at the story of Ezra and Nehemiah. Read through that because I believe it's really patterning our lives that we're living in right now because you see that they were in a situation, a very dark situation, but God began to restore. Amen. God put it on people's heart for the restoration. They began to see the picture that God had to restore the temple. God to restore the walls and different things. And we know those are types of the word. And then as he began to restore those things, then he began to restore the different parts of worship. You know, the different sacrifices, the different things that were written in the law. They realized, oh, I didn't remember this. Oh, we weren't doing this. And then they began to read the law and they began to repent of what they had done before. And then also, as this was happening, there was an attack from the enemy, but the attack was happening with people that were sort of like them. You understand what I'm saying? And so he moved very subtly in different ways, but he was trying to stop the work through different people that were around the message of the hour. And then you saw that how the zeal that each of these men had about sin and keeping it out. And just, you know, one guy just like somebody was in one place where he shouldn't have been. You know, the Ammonites and the Moabites, they were not supposed to be in the congregation of the house of Israel, and he just actually just threw them out. And so that's zeal. You know, sometimes when the anointing is on, God lets those things happen. Remember Jesus, the money changers. He threw out the money changers. And so there's a time and place for that. But the zeal of that, it just got me excited that, you know, that man had such a desire to do the things of God that he just, you know, I'm sure he was offended. I'm sure there were hurt feelings there. But it was the word of God and the will of God above it all. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Father, for your word. And Amen. Lord Jesus, let it not just be something they heard today and said, yeah, that's good. Amen, brother. But say, let it sink down and cause a motivation, oh Lord, and a desire. You know, none of us are perfect, oh Lord. We know that, oh Father. But Lord, you have called us to perfection. And so by the grace of God, you have called sinful flesh to perfection, oh Lord. And Lord Jesus, we let the desire grow within us that it's something that is moving us into action, oh Father. Something that is sustained, something that is concrete, something that is eternal in the way that we live our lives, oh Lord. Not just this week, not just this month, not just the next few months, but for our time as we grow on and build on each experience, that let us continually grow, oh Father. Lord Jesus, the hour is late, and I believe you're causing the anointing in our hearts, oh Father, to call us and see the revelation of the word of the hour to step up, oh Father. Lord Jesus, please forgive me, oh Lord Jesus, if I said anything in a way that was hard to understand or difficult or different things, oh Lord Jesus. Lord, just take the word and place it in the proper place, oh Father. Lord Jesus, forgive each one of us, including myself, oh Lord, for our laziness, dilatory, and not doing the things that I'm supposed to, oh Lord Jesus. Lord, help us. Bless the service, O Lord, the preaching, the song service. We ask all this in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Please be seated.